Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update, the Josh live feed update here for September 19th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm joined by a whole host of guests here. They're all excited to talk about our good friend, Josh. First, I've got Matt Ligori. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. Very happy to be here. Very sorry you guys don't miss the demo of the episode for Josh's podcast.
It sounded a little muffled to me. Not sure what's going on there. Yes, we've also got Liana here. How you doing, Liana?
I'm doing well. I didn't bring the bandana, but I'm here. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the season, I would be the most excited to talk about Josh?
Yeah, you know, it happens. And then, of course, Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm good, Taryn. I'm hoping I don't play myself so I don't get called out by Liana again today.
I'm sorry. It was just ridiculous.
I forgive you. It's okay.
Yes. Matt, how you doing here?
Is that any better?
Or much still? Better. Much better.
Sorry. Yes.
He's people were banging pots and pans. It was very distracting. So I can understand why you might have muffled the microphone. So we are here to update you on everything that's happening on the live feeds and run through Josh's game here. So really, there wasn't anything that happened on the live feeds. Basically, Christmas has now told both Josh and Paul, do what's best for your game. Take the person that's going to be best for your game. And Josh and Paul are like, oh, perfect. She's not even going to be mad. Mm-hmm. Friendship. And then there was an earthquake. So that happened.
Yeah, earthquake that's pretty much it.
It was a very small earthquake. They went outside. Right.
Okay, yeah, we're like really trying to stretch this out. It was a 3.6 magnitude earthquake that hit the Big Brother house.
Josh was very frightened.
Yeah, I like the reactions when Paul pulled them all outside and Josh was just shaking, like the look on his face. Like he's never gone through an earthquake before. That was fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because they also managed to make fun of Raven.
Oh, yeah.
There's an earthquake. It all goes back to like, let's just take some more jabs at Raven. I'm okay with that.
And of course, Paul immediately takes control of the situation. They just naturally fall under. He's like, all right, guys, get up, go outside. We're going to stand out here, wait for the aftershock. It happens.
It's like his version of vetsplaining. It's, you know, earthquake splaining.
Oh, yeah. Well, Paul knows more about everything than everyone.
Of course.
So really, they got some games to play, but that's really, there wasn't a whole lot else that happened on the feeds. It appears that nothing has changed. Josh still plans on taking Paul. Paul still plans on taking Josh. So there's your update. So let's get into Josh's game here. Lots to talk about with Josh. He really was a focal point throughout the entire season. Even when he wasn't involved in the action, he was banging pots and pans and making sure he was going to get some kind of spotlight. So we have to start with week one, day one, when Josh does, as along with Christmas, does not receive a friendship bracelet. He has to compete in that apple snake competition where he doesn't make a great decision, but gets lucky and does not get a bad apple there and does not have to face the vote. Who knows what would have happened if he had like a 50-50 shot. If he had chosen the wrong one, maybe he's up on the block instead of Cameron. The whole game would be different. So Josh ends up not being on the block. He ends up voting to evict Christmas, as we talked about yesterday, and he immediately regrets this vote and tries to hide the fact that he voted to evict Christmas because she ended up staying and he was like, oh crap, what did I just do? So right off the bat, Josh is making decisions that he's going to regret. Puya.
Yeah, I feel like the Josh story begins very similarly to how the Josh story has been. He got very lucky with a couple apples beginning. I liken his beginning to Ian Terry a little bit, just because it was one of those things where had he not had safety in the early goings, he could have been very easily picked off just because of the house dynamics with him and how he was going. The reason We haven't gotten to this quite yet, but the reason he goes for the golden apple immediately after is because he has said he did not feel like he was making the relationships he needed with his house guests. So he wanted the safety. He wanted to make sure he was safe. And I'll stop right there because then we're about to hit a shitstorm of what he says and what goes on after. So.
Yes. Matt, do you feel right from the get go, he votes for Christmas. He's one of very few votes for Christmas. He ends up regretting this vote, but it doesn't hinder his relationship with Christmas. Christmas was determined to be one of the few people that had a relationship with him. How do you feel about this vote?
Well, right away, you saw that the entire house was kind of just putting Josh in the outs. They wanted nothing to do with him. From the second they all stepped in the house, and Josh just, we know who Josh is because we've spent 90 days with Josh and we've seen his personality and we've seen how just the way he acts and whatnot. But immediately that was such a turnoff to the other house guests. They were like, whoa, who is this guy? So he did come in and have a target on his back pretty quickly. And when Christmas, saw that Josh was feeling on the outs and he was feeling, a little bit down and depressed because she saw that everybody was treating him, a little differently. She was like, she ran over to him and she's like, don't worry about it. It's fine. Just stay calm. We'll get through this. I'm not mad. It's fine. So, from early on, we saw the Josh and Christmas relationship forming. And it was good to see somebody going to Josh early on because, it can be tough in the beginning stages of the game to find somebody to connect with. And Josh had nobody reaching out to him. So it was nice to have Christmas go.
Yeah, yes. Josh pretty quickly becomes that social pariah. And it's actually interesting to see kind of how he's perceived in the eyes of the other house guests as the season goes on. But yeah, Christmas was the only person who would talk to him early days in feeds. Like, I remember Josh just isolating himself, being alone on the bed, and Christmas was the only person who would talk to him.
Yeah, and basically the reason for this is that Josh feels like either he overheard or he's heard some whispers about Megan and her crew coming after him. And so he feels like, oh my God, I'm a target right away. This is no good. And because of that, he goes for that golden apple in the first HOH competition for safety. Now, there's a bit of a factual, we don't really know exactly what's happening here. Either Kevin told him that he had the $25,000 and that's why he felt like, well, I might as well go for the apple. I need the safety anyway, because Kevin is going to have to throw this HOH competition because that was in the terms of taking that $25,000, or he didn't know, or maybe he misinterpreted. There's a lot of different explanations here. I think it's pretty reasonable to think maybe that Josh just kind of like came up with this as a reason for why he took the apple, and then it never really came up until later, and then so he didn't actually have confirmation. It was just his story and it turned out to be true. But there's a lot of stuff that could have been the cause of this, but ultimately, he takes this golden apple, he receives the safety, and it's going to be vital for his game because Cody really wanted to go after him. And then especially after he takes this golden apple, Cody just wants nothing to do with Josh. He thinks that he's weak. He's a beta. He ruined it for his team. This is no good, Liana.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard for us to know. It's a little bit of the chicken and the egg type situation, because you start to see Josh be a social outcast, or at least that's how it was portrayed to us. This was stuff that was all happened before feeds came back. Josh starts to kind of become the social outcast. He feels like he's being threatened, that Megan's going to come after him. So then he goes for the golden apple, gets into this huge fight with Megan, and then Cody ends up disliking him, calling him a beta, all this stuff, and wants to target him. So it's plausible that he probably would have gone home that first week, if Cody had been able to target him, but definitely him going for the golden apple just pushed him further into Cody's eyes as a possible target.
Yes. And so he gets into these fights with Megan. Megan ends up self-evicting. And by the time the feeds come on, Josh is truly a social pariah. When we say that Christmas is the only one that really spent any time with him, it's not like, she's the only one that like talked to him. It's she's the only one that didn't shun him. He was completely, everybody was talking trash about Josh. The feeds came up and he was talking to the cameras because he didn't have anyone else to talk to, saying, I'm a human being. I have feelings. And everybody was just sick of him. They were like, we're already done with this. We're already tired of Josh. And Christmas, again, she is the one that saw the value in that and went to Josh and helped talk him through some things. And Paul, of course, never like outwardly shunned him, kept his options open. And that's where we start to see this relationship between Christmas and Josh form. And so when Cody is not able to nominate Josh, Megan self-evicts. Cody decides he wants to target Paul, but as we know, he wasn't able to. So he ends up nominating Christmas, and Josh becomes one of those valuable swing votes to keep Christmas in the game. He ends up siding with Paul and Christmas, largely because of the relationship he's formed with Christmas and with Paul at that point. And that's how we move forward in for this vote, at least, Puya.
Yeah, just to quickly touch up on him becoming a pariah in the house. The main thing that stood out or stands out from Josh's story from the early goings is this was his first time stepping away from family. This is, and we've heard him say this so many times, especially in the first 2-3 weeks. He had never lived apart from his family, and he had talked with multiple people, bringing this up, citing this as the reason, the emotions that were going in. He had a conversation with Jillian. When Jillian went up on the block and he was explaining, he's like, I ball out every night in this house. To which I remember initially thinking, is he saying that he's going over the top every night? No. He's crying every night. He was just losing it in there. And it's really funny to see how these little things, these subtle conversations that he had with Christmas, the way they've translated moving forward. But yeah, so Christmas having that conversation with him, he ends up becoming this pivotal swing vote, and that kind of becomes his play in the game for the first 3-4 weeks of the house.
Yeah, like, right, I just want to emphasize. Go ahead. Well, I just want to emphasize, this is so much fun. I just want to emphasize how much of like an insane person and exhausting he was to watch on feeds. Like, I just remember it, 24 hours of watching him, having a cam on him was just like, I can't even, it was, oh my gosh, it was just exhausting. Him running around yelling about how he's a human being and he has a gut feeling and he's a human. Just, oh my gosh, it was exhausting. Now I understand why the house guests felt the way they did about him. And it's just so funny to see him sort of grow as this person and still be insane, but at least be less exhausting to watch on feeds.
Well, it was how bad he was that caught Paul's eye. Right from the start, I think when I say Christmas saw the value in Josh, I think she saw the value in Josh as a human. I don't think she really saw him as a piece on the board. I think she really was just trying to be comforting to Josh. Whereas Paul, I think, immediately saw the value in Josh. I think right from the beginning, when he was completely socially outcast, Paul was like, I like this. I want this in the final two. We even saw when Josh decided to side with Paul and Christmas, he didn't tell the other side. He lied to them and said that they had his vote right from the beginning, pissing all sides off even further when he votes. And Alex ends up being mad at him for lying about the Jillian vote. Josh really not making many friends, but the friends he does make are ending up pretty valuable. Matt, what do you think?
Just one thing that we can't forget about the first time that we saw Josh in one of the episodes is he saw Paul, and as a super fan, he was so excited to see Paul. He ran to Paul in the APSR. He wanted to work with him. And when Paul was, you know, having his meetings in there, giving out, giving some time for everybody to tell him why they should get a friendship bracelet, Josh went to Paul and was like, listen, we're good. Like, I got you. You got me. Like, let's do this. Let's make it happen. And Paul was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then, you know, if you remember, Josh runs out of the room and Paul's like, I don't know. But then Josh doesn't get a friendship bracelet on that first night. And Josh is like, oh, well, this is part of the plan. Like Paul doesn't want to show his cards and show that we're together. And Josh thinks this whole time that they're working together. So from day one, the relationship with Paul was Josh was trying to make that happen while Christmas was making the one with him happen. So they were all coming together. And, you know, while it didn't look great for Josh, underneath it all, he had something good going.
Yes, all right. So we move forward to week two, where Paul wins the HOH, and he decides he wants to use Josh as a pawn, and Josh is willing. Josh is he's trying to be loyal here. He's trying to be a team player. He was willing to go up on the block in order to take Cody out of the game. Puya, what did you think of that decision?
I think it ties into exactly what Matt was saying, where Josh felt very, very comfortable with Paul early on, enough that when he didn't get the friendship bracelet, there were a couple of people who were feeling salty about not getting it, but Josh thought it was all part of the plan. Josh thought that Paul had his back no matter what, and he thought, sure, because at this point, he really felt like he had no, his back is against the wall. He has nobody in the house. He hasn't really put down any relationships. So if Paul wants him to go up as a pawn, he'll go up as a pawn because he trusts Paul and because he figures he's probably going to would have been on the block if anyone else would have won. And he has this blind trust for Paul. And I feel like another thing that tied into that was seeing how on the outs Cody and Jessica were, how big the target was and obvious the target was for Paul to go after them. So that would have been another effort for him to get up on that block. And I feel like he is, as I was looking back at some stuff last night, you could tell that he really wanted to be a part of the plan to help get them out. So if he doesn't have power, what's the second best thing he can do is go up as a pawn and be an active member of the cogs that end up making this plan a reality.
Yes, so Josh ends up on the block here. However, Paul does take him down when he wins the veto and replaces him with Cody. And this is really when the animosity between Josh and Cody starts. Josh is basically gloating the fact that that Cody is being backdoored here, that you know, Josh is in on it. Cody is not. I mean, obviously, Cody was never a fan of Josh and Josh knew that. But this is when it really comes to a head. And Cody is not happy about this. This is the moment where Cody and Jess are in the have not room. And Josh comes in to be like, oh, look, I'm sorry about what I said during the veto ceremony. And Cody's just like, get the F out of here. I don't want to hear it. Stop making victim noises. They have the victim noise fight. Lots and lots of fights starting to happen with Josh this week as well. Liana, I mean, at this point, it was like this guy, he couldn't possibly win this game.
Yeah, it's so funny because even this early in the game, both us as viewers and the people in the house, Paul specifically, are already recognizing that Josh is this perfect pawn slash goat. Like, he is just picking fights with people. He's wreaking havoc. He's, you know, there's no way he could win the game. Like, he talk about jury mismanagement. Oh, Josh is definitely the one who's going to mismanage, you know, all the people that are going to jury.
Yeah. I mean, he really ends up like rubbing it in Cody's face as on his way out the door. And that brings us into week three when Alex wins the HOH and she goes after Dominique. Josh was not really a part of this decision, but when Dominique implodes, he does have some feelings about this. He ends up being one of the only people that is willing to talk to Dominique after everything happens and isn't a huge fan of the whole ostracizing treatment that she's getting. In particular, he has a problem with how Mark has just completely abandoned her. Matt, what did you think of this week with Josh?
Well, this is the time of the early part of the game where he started to gain confidence because he had a group forming around him. He felt like he, you know, had some protection here and there. So he was just starting to have fun with everything. And, he was recognizing now, okay, now I'm in a comfortable position and there's people in uncomfortable positions. This became Dominique. This became Mark. And he, he felt week one or week two how it didn't feel good to be the person ostracized from the rest of the house. So he liked Dominique. So he was talking to her, he was comforting her. And this is, around the time, I guess, where he really started to not like Mark. And everything that Mark was doing was starting to rub him the wrong way, which, as we're going to see in the next few weeks, is going to, magnify times a million. So he sees this week he likes Dominique and he's starting to not like Mark. And he's like, all right, well, aren't you guys friends? And you're over here hanging out with Jess and Elena and all them. And I'm over here talking to Dominique. Like, isn't this supposed to be your job? You're supposed to be her friend. Why am I doing this?
Well, and this is the week when he has that huge fight with Mark over the pool game. And you have the pickle juice and the hot sauce incident. So, you know, it's coupled with actually the game moves that are happening with Mark ignoring Dominique and kind of leaving Dominique out to dry, coupled then with like this big fight over nonsense.
Yes. I mean, it starts with Dominique, right, but it culminates this week with the hot sauce kerfuffle, where Mark and Josh, they get into this fight. And I mean, again, we've seen the gifts of this. Yes, Brent. Gifts. Josh is very upset about this whole situation. And he accuses Mark of being in on the whole Cody betrayal in week one. He says that, you know, you were in on it. You're ostracizing Dominique, like you are not a loyal person. And you know, this is not okay. You're not a man, stuff like that. And again, well, like this is par for the course for Josh. This is at least once every week he's gotten into some kind of big blowout with somebody.
And I think that this continues to solidify him as appearing to be this really good goat. You know, he's getting into all these fights with people, you know, Jason, Kevin, Alex, they're all still trashing him. You know, nobody really respects him for a myriad of reasons. And so I think that, you know, as early as week three, Josh really, really is starting to stand out as this great goat and pawn.
Yes. And also should be pointed out, this is not intentional on Josh's part. This is Josh. Mm-hmm. This is who Josh is. He is a young guy. He's very emotional and he's getting into these fights. He's trying not to. He's being told, like, it's better for your game if you don't do this, but he can't help himself. And that's what makes him so appealing as a final two goat. This is not some kind of thing where he's like trying to look appealing to be taken to the, like, if Josh ends up winning the game tomorrow night, I know that there are going to be people that are like, Josh, man, he knew how to present himself as such a great goat. No. This is not intentional on Josh's part, right, Booyah?
No, it's definitely not. I mean, going back to, it was a scratch. Okay. It was a scratch. That fight happened because of a scratch. Let's not forget. And then he's in the hot tub, rambling on to Dominique to kind of talk, calling Mark out to her, and Mark ends up walking out. They expand that fight even bigger. The house starts coming out to the backyard, and then Jessica inserts herself, and that's when we get the infamous boo-boo, it's not a good look for you. And like that goes on a little bit. So like this week was very, because I feel like when he went up as a pawn, he was calm, he was working it well. And that's one thing I've really appreciated from Josh, is when he's used as a pawn, he was able to sell it really, really well. Brent alluded to this last night, where he's just able to keep calm with stuff like that. Even if he's put in jeopardy, he was able to keep calm. So there are moments where you see these things and you think, oh my God, what he's doing? Does Josh have this higher sense of understanding? And then he blows up like this. He blew up on Cody right before Paul even used the veto on him week two. And then that trickled over. But then you kind of think of it, maybe Cody was just the number one house target, so he blew up on him because why not? But then next week it happens with Mark, and then it happens with Jessica right after. And then which leads to right before the live eviction, he says, sorry, I respect you, Jessica, but if I win HOH, you're going home.
Yes, and this whole fight with Jessica that happened after the hot sauce kerfuffle, it really culminates at the end of that week. And then coming into week four, of course, Cody comes back into the house and they have this HOH competition where Josh has been really at Paul's behest told that you need to be antagonizing them as much as possible. And initially, and this is a story of Josh in this game, he initially is against this idea, but in the moment he goes, you know what, I should. And this is the origin of the he's antagonizing them during the HOH competition, basically ensuring that he is going to be their target coming into this week. Really, this is, you know, we'll talk about this with Paul. I think this is one of Paul's better moves. You know, Josh ends up really, really gunning for them. He really just like any relationship that he might have had with Jessica has been completely tarnished. Jessica was in a position where she had nobody the prior week and she was looking for allies. She was trying to get Ramses on her side. She was trying to get Alex on her side. And she was somewhat willing to even work with Josh if she needed to. Nothing happening here. So Jessica ends up winning this HOH, and again, with Paul's influence in play, she ends up putting Josh and Ramses on the block. Again, this is very lucky for Josh, because if Paul hadn't been able to get Ramses up on the block, or maybe, again, the feeds were down then, so we don't know exactly what happened. If Jess and Cody weren't dumb enough to put Ramses up on the block, if they had put Paul up or Alex or anybody else next to Josh, Josh goes home here. But because he's up next to Ramses, he is able to be saved by Paul. And there's a whole elaborate plan in the works to do this, Liana.
Yeah, so there are two things that I want to point out. First is that, you know, Josh has been getting into a lot of these fights kind of on his own before this, but this is really the first instance where we see Paul use Josh as a weapon, right? So he sicks him on Cody and Jessica. And I think that this then continues throughout the season, but this is Paul use, I know this isn't the podcast, this is Paul using Josh and weaponizing him as an antagonizer and a shit stirrer, for lack of a better word, in the house. So that I think is really important. And then also, just, I cannot emphasize enough, like, how willing Paul was to let Josh go home in this instance. Like, if it wasn't Ramses, Josh would have been gone. Like, this is, Paul saw him as completely expendable. You know, even though he was using him, he was not someone who, you know, Paul was like, this is someone I'm super loyal to. This is someone I'm going to keep. We really, really could have seen Josh go home this week.
Yeah. And I mean,
right, because this is around the same time. This is around the same time that Paul was getting comfortable with, like, bringing all the other groups together, right? He had Alex and Jason and Kevin, and he was bringing them in with Christmas, and he still had Mark and Elena around. So he had this big group coming together, and he's looking around, and he's like, wow, I really have all these allies behind me right now, ready to go to war. It was nice to have Josh, but like Puya said, if he had lost him, it wasn't going to be the end of the world, but, you know, he still did want to keep him.
Yes. And I mean, basically, Josh was set up to take the fall for Paul in this week. And if Jessica had gone after Paul, she would have used Josh as a pawn and Josh would have gone home. And if she had decided, which she did, that I won't go after Paul yet, but I can go after Josh. If she had used anyone but Ramses, Josh would have been gone. But luckily for Josh, whether it was Paul or whether it was, you know, Jess's own, you know, stupidity, she ends up putting Ramses up on the block. And Paul tells Josh, here's what you need to do. Do nothing. Just play dead. And Josh says, all right, I'll do that. He spends the entire week blanketing, isolating himself, not talking to anyone. He actually has a lot of trouble doing this, despite how well he plays it. There are many times when he's like, Paul, please let me yell at them. Please, I want to stop doing this. I want to talk to people. And Paul is like, no, you have to follow through with this. Luckily, Paul is able to keep him on track, because Jessica does come very close to using the veto on Ramses, which again would have sent Josh home. But Josh is able to survive this week with the help of Paul. And again, he does end up selling it very well, to the point where Jessica is convinced that Josh is definitely going home and that everything is going to be fine, Puya.
Yeah, I mean, he was very blanketed. He pulled the Aubrey book. We had a conversation with us, with the cameras, explaining what he was doing. And I feel like that's where Josh really started appreciating the cameras, because he wasn't allowed to talk to anybody else, but he could talk to us. So that's where that came in. And now we see that him continuing to do that to present day. It was hard for him. I mean, you look at him. I feel like with Josh, he was so, you brought up a Tupperware of rage yesterday. And I feel like with Josh, he was able to keep himself content for a while, but once the floodgates open, he can't shut them down. Once his emotions come out, he can't put them back in. So Paul played an intricate role this week in making sure he doesn't snap, because my God, if he had just done it once, I think he would have done it the rest of the week. And as everyone has said on this panel, he was definitely collateral damage in that situation if anything was to go wrong. So he pretty much escaped. But we have to give him credit for being able to contain himself.
Yes. So by the end of this week, right before the eviction, he goes off on Mark again, banging some pots and pans. I'm going to make your week hell. This is when Mark and Elena get pushed out of the group. They were not in on this vote. So, it kind of works out for him. And heading into next week, Paul wins the HOH and goes after Jessica and Cody. And this is when Jessica has the halting hex. And again, this is when the bullying and all of the aggressiveness really comes to a head. And of course, Josh is a pretty big part of that. Jess and Cody come after Paul, and then Josh starts banging pots and pans, yelling at Cody. Mark tells him to shut up. He starts banging pots and pans at Mark. Mark goes Hulk on him and rips the pans out of his hand and threatens to beat him with them. He is going to continue to antagonize Jessica and Cody and Mark, throughout the rest of this week and basically throughout the rest of their time in the house. And this is, not a week has gone by where Josh hasn't gotten into some kind of major confrontation. And this was probably the majorest of all the confrontations.
Yeah, I would say that this is when he really stood out. Like, oh my gosh, this is bad. Especially the interactions with him and Mark, where I really thought Mark was going to hit him with the frying pan. He just went off. I think this is also a situation where he really does start to be much more confident in his place. He's been safe. Things that Paul has said and promised have come true. And so I think that he is, he's been antagonistic before, but this extra added confidence, like, really shows him just going at it. I mean, I think he's described by Paul as the real life version of an internet troll. Like, he's worse than that because you can actually hear him. He really just comes across as, like, this guy has zero chance of winning this game.
Yes. Josh never knew that if anything had gone wrong the previous week that he would have gone home. He thought that Paul was going to keep him safe no matter what, which was absolutely not the case. But it does give him a lot of confidence moving forward that, like, it's again what we've talked about, where it's like everything Paul tells you is going to be right until it's not. But by then it's too late and you're gone. And so he's really feeling like, I have a solid base here. Nobody can get me out. I can go after whoever I want. And he's enjoying this newfound power, and he's really displaying it and going after these people. Matt, how are you feeling about Josh at this point?
This is the point in the game, I guess, where the finish line is so far ahead that you're not really thinking about that too much. And you've been in the house now for a couple of weeks, so you're comfortable where you're comfortable in your surroundings, and it kind of separates the really good players.
You've been engulfed with water. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know why.
You're fine now.
Yeah, it's working now.
Maybe it's just when I talk really fast.
I don't know, maybe.
It's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I was just saying, it's... He started to feel comfortable. He wasn't the person in there trying to play a good game. So he was having a lot of fun with all of this confrontation. It's, they say you can only fake it for so long when you try to be somebody that you're not. And Josh is the kind of person who, if you come after him, or if he feels even a little bit threatened, he's going to go off it and make sure you know your place, in comparison to where he is. So that's where he was at this whole week. And, it's a lot of this early part of the game is what we're going to remember Josh for in the coming years when we look back on his game, whether he wins or loses. The first half of his game is going to be remembered by this pots and pans, screaming at everybody and just, all this loud stuff.
Yeah.
And I just want to go back. Actually, Matt, your power rankings for this particular week, I went back and read them. Both you and Colin Stone, who you had as your guest, said there's no way he's going to win. He's going to get second place. Like, he is the perfect final two goat. And so this is when it really just solidifies him as this final two goat.
It's funny, like, we keep, we're looking at this as a potentially very bitter jury that's not going to vote for Paul. It's very much like if Russell Hantz met Amanda Kimmel, like, who would win that final travel? Yeah. Like, this is probably potentially one of the most difficult decisions for a jury to make. I think maybe Big Brother 8 was one of those as well. So, I mean, Josh just really doesn't do a whole lot else this week but antagonize people. Obviously, Jessica plays the Halting Hex and nothing ends up happening. And then heading into next week, Josh ends up winning the HOH. It's that crapshoot competition and Josh ends up winning it and immediately decides, I don't care about the plan. I don't like Elena. I feel like she is the biggest social threat in this game. She's getting too close to Paul. I want to take a shot at Elena. You know what? I don't care if Paul isn't on board. Christmas is on board. That's all I need. I'm going to make this happen. Problem is, he doesn't have the numbers to do it. And this is really, again, we talk about like turning points in Paul in Josh's game. This was when I was saying, man, this could be the end of Josh, because if he tries and fails, I think he's done. I think Paul drops him. He's no longer a good goat to take to the end. In many ways, again, it was lucky for him that Paul ends up, stopping this before it even starts by convincing Christmas to use the ring of replacement to prevent Cody from playing in the veto. Puya, what did you think of this whole plan?
The whole plan, it was very interesting to go back and look at it because, as you already said, the plan was obviously from before anybody won the HOH, it was going to be Jessica and Cody. They just went through an entire dud week where the hex was used and they weren't able to get any of them out. Paul was adamant that this is what he wanted. But where Josh started thinking for himself was the fact that he had just gone through an eviction where there were 4 votes against him. Two of them were Mark and Elena, and he was not really into the idea of Elena because Elena was very adamant. Because when he went and had a conversation with her, Elena was saying stuff like, well, Ramses came to me and approached me like 3 times for my vote. Like, you can't put that on me. That's on you. And that really rubbed him the wrong way. And then Christmas had her own agenda with those two because she saw them as floaters. She saw them as two people that were jumping from power to power, and she didn't like that. She liked that she knew where Jessica and Cody's minds were at. They knew where they're at. They knew where they stood. No one has them, but these two can like jump back and forth to different sides. So the two of them together, this is where I feel like they really started becoming a core duo. I know that from week one they had this close bond, but this is where that got solidified. This is the first time one of the two got power, and this is the first time one of them was able to have a say in what happens. And Christmas was very adamant on having Josh have his own voice and not really go after what Paul is saying, but you've already pointed it out. This was kind of a do or die. If he took the shot and missed, he would have been clipped from Paul's alliances. He would have probably been one of the first to go after Paul got rid of Jessica and Cody. So the fact that he was able to put that aside for now and then listen and just go after the two main house targets really ended up helping him out.
Yeah, and again, right. Basically... And go ahead.
Underneath it all, it feels like this... You guys were talking about this, I think, yesterday. Elena... She's spending all this time with Mark and she's spending all this time with Paul. Meanwhile, you have Josh who is really into Elena and you have Christmas who's maybe starting to feel really good with Paul, you know, in I like you kind of way. So this is the week. I just felt like they were just realizing that like Elena's a problem for both of us. Christmas is like, she's standing in my way to Paul. And Josh is sitting here like, oh, well, she doesn't like me because she's spending all this time with Mark. And the both of them, it just felt like they connected without having to say anything. And they were just like, let's get Elena out of here because we don't need her.
Yeah. And I feel like this week it was in many ways Josh being saved from himself because he basically he wants to go against Paul. And again, if Paul had found this out, Paul would have shut this down and he probably would have said, you know what, maybe Josh isn't the person I need with me because he's too erratic. He's going to like not listen to what I have to say. He went against me here. When he tries to tell Jessica about the plan, Jessica doesn't want to hear it. If he had been able to tell Jessica, man, that's no good for him. Cause now Jessica knows a lot of information. He tries to make this Elena thing happen, but Christmas ends up using the ring of replacement, which makes Cody and Jessica so angry that the whole plan is impossible to begin with. And it dies again before it ever really gets going. And Josh is saved from this whole predicament. And Jessica ends up leaving this week, Liana.
Well, this is like the story of the season. Josh ends up making the right move, but not for the right reason. Like, he doesn't think through, oh, okay, this is why, you know, because Paul has such this close alliance, like, he doesn't understand that. He wants to make this move. And ultimately, Paul ends up convincing him. Jessica doesn't want to hear it, right? Like, these are things that are outside Josh's control, there where he's being influenced. So while, yes, we talk about this being the correct move, this is not because of his own agency.
Yes. So moving forward into week 7, Alex wins the HOH. And this is, you know, she goes after, she gets rid of Cody at this point. And again, Josh has some major confrontations with Cody, with Mark, with Elena. I mean, at this point, it's starting to just seem repetitive, right, Matt?
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same thing over and over again. And this is why this time of the game, we all felt like he couldn't win, because it was just week after week of just not getting along with the same people. And, it, you know, it's like, all right, we get it. You don't like them, but you would have thought that he would have gotten it all out of his system, and he didn't.
Yes, particularly with Elena, like, he really pisses her off, trying to claim that she said something that she didn't, taking it out of context, and just like won't listen to her, won't even let her speak in one of these confrontations. He does, you know, to his credit, this is when he does start to try to, you know, be like, you know what? Cody is on his way out the door. He's going to the jury house. I'm gonna have some, like, some low key conversations with Cody where I'm like, man, you know, isn't this whole thing crazy? Right, man. He ends up leaving with a slightly better relationship with Cody than he had ever had before. And this is when we're starting to think, you know, maybe people are so used to Josh being Josh that maybe it might be overlooked once he gets to the final two. But yeah,
I think this Josh's game has had three tiers. Week one was the Liana outlook of, we might not even get to see this entertaining guy on feeds. He's written off. Then week five, the Matt outlook. This guy is poised to get 50K, nothing more. As it got further, now we're sitting here having lengthy discussions on a roundtable about whether or not he's going to have the votes to win the whole thing. And it's looking pretty darn close. So it's very interesting because Josh gets the jury. This is the start of jury. And he has this amazing DR where he's like, I didn't think I was going to make it to jury. You didn't think I was going to make it to jury. And he's here. And he's been able, I feel like this is where he really starts calming down somewhat, not completely, because Josh can never be completely calm. But this is where he kind of starts putting that lid back on that Tupperware of rage and really sitting aside and being able to kind of smooth things over with Cody. His relationship with Mark has always been this polarizing thing, starting from the scratch all the way to now, where they've had arguments, but then they talk it over and they're fine with each other and they're civil. I feel like Josh, they got used to him being this way. I feel like they chalked up a lot of it to two reasons: him being away from home, which is what started all of it, and then I feel like enough people started seeing it as like, well, he's just a bit of a follower, isn't he? He's just going to do what Paul says, and it's probably like people are telling him to do this, so he's doing this to appease others. So no one really saw it as a place of complete malice. You kind of knew whenever Josh was confronting you, just take it with a grain of salt because he's just being ragey. You just got to let him get it out of his system, and you'll get an apology within the next 90 minutes anyways.
Yes. And again, you know, something that we're failing to point out, because it's something that, you know, if you've been watching the feeds or the episodes, anytime Paul or Josh goes on one of these rants, he cries afterward. He's always like, he's very sad about it. Something else, this was the double eviction week, and he also antagonizes Mark and Elena on Elena's way out the door during the double eviction. That must not have been very pleasant to hear for Elena. Again, hard to imagine that Elena would be more bitter toward Paul than Josh after everything Josh did to her, when we're talking about jury votes. But I guess if it's the Matt and Raven thing, maybe it's understandable. But he really, he did Elena kind of dirty here, and he never really had an apology session or left on good terms with her, Liana.
Yeah, well, he does mention, like, when he won HOH that previous week, that he's thinking about his jury votes, and he's starting to think about, oh, I've wronged all these people, you know, I've yelled at them, I've caused these fights, yet he continues to go on and do that. Like, I think this is a combination of Paul using him, and then also Josh just letting his emotions get in the way. He's just such an emotional guy, and so he does end up doing these apology tours later, but for Elena, when she's actually leaving, like, there's no time for that. And they really leave the house on bad terms.
Yes. So moving forward to week 8, Christmas ends up winning that HOH. Of course, it was thrown to her. And she goes after Mark. And this is one of the more low-key weeks of the season. Mark, everyone knows Mark is the target. He takes it pretty well. Josh doesn't even get into a whole lot of confrontations. He actually takes the opportunity to be pretty cordial with Mark on his way out the door. Not much of note for this week, but yeah.
No, the one thing that I want to point out is his goodbye message, because I watched the eviction last night just to remember exactly how him and Mark left things on. First of all, Julie brings up Amazing Race with the two of them, and Mark seems really into the idea, so that's always nice to hear. But then you see the two goodbye messages and the differences in the two. So Paul kind of spews his usual, buddy, it's been tough, like, I'm sorry you kind of like picked the wrong side of the house. Put in a good word for me in jury. These are the words Paul decides to use to part ways with. And then you've got Josh sitting there saying exactly the same. You aligned yourself with the wrong people. You played in the middle. But look at the bright side. You get to go to Elena. Huh? Huh? And like, Mark loves that. Mark laughs at that. I feel like he picked the right things to say to Mark in that position, because Mark was saying in his eviction that, yeah, no, I was playing the middle. I didn't play really well. He kind of was, you know, kicking his game down a peg. So he already knew these things. But for Josh to appeal to his emotions, and Mark was also another very emotional guy in the house, I feel like not only was he more cordial with Mark, knowing Mark was going home, but also the things he put together with Mark was good enough that I feel like it goes back. Like, if we want to talk about Elena for a second, if we're looking at these two as a pair, I think, and I would think Elena's the bigger voice in the two of them. I would say so. But I would also think Mark was able to, at least, let's say she's 100% in hatred of Josh. Mark would have been able to smooth it down to a cool 50, in my opinion. I feel like there's enough power with Mark and how he felt leaving the game with Josh that that's kind of been smoothed over at least a little bit. And I have to give Josh credit, because his goodbye message came from a place of emotion. Paul's goodbye message clearly came from a place of just factual and game.
Well, I think that's what's most shocking to me is, right, like, this is Mark is the person who got into probably the biggest fight with Josh the entire season. And Mark comes out and says to Julie, like, Josh is an amazing guy. He turned it around. He's a nice guy. He's incredible. What? Like, why would he be saying these things about Josh? So that gives me hope that, you know, Josh was able to repair some of these relationships and actually create good bonds with the jury members.
Yeah, I think this is Josh's strongest week of the game by far, mostly because there wasn't any cause for conflict and he didn't have to do much other than work on his relationship with Mark. And as you mentioned, the goodbye message, the way that Mark left the game, Josh was really able to do a good job here. And if he does end up winning, this might be something that we can point to as like, here's something he did. And I think this, again, I think this is the most impressive part of Josh's game throughout the entire season. Matt, do you agree?
And it's just at the end of the day, Josh, the best thing about him, whether it's intentional or not, is just that he's a likable guy. No matter what he was doing to everybody, you know, everybody still liked him. He just had he has this quality about him that's so fun loving, and it's just goofy little Josh, and everybody still wants to be his friend. And they're like, "Oh, Josh, like, you're so cute, banging your pots and pans over there."
I don't think we should go that far. I think I don't know if many people liked him in the house.
I think how did Mark leave feeling good about Josh after all the stuff he went through?
He's right, like, but he was the only person to do so. Like,
I feel like everybody likes Josh enough that that's why we're sitting here considering that Josh may still get the votes at the end of the day, because even though he went through all this, all the stuff that he's done in the game that would lead us to otherwise believe that he wouldn't get the votes, at the end of the day they still like him enough to say, okay, I'd still give this guy my vote.
I mean, to be fair, I'm considering the fact that Josh might win strictly because of the leaks. But like my own analysis says he loses to Paul like 8-1. And the one isn't because Jason likes Josh. It's because he hates Paul. And I think that if Josh does win this jury vote, I don't think it's because people like him. I think it's because they hate Paul. And that's what the leak says, that they're willing to vote for anyone over Paul. And it would happen to be Josh that he's there. Right. I do think that Josh has a likable quality for sure. But I don't think these particular house guests enjoyed him throughout most of the season. Like I said, I think he does some good work with Mark here, but Mark is the only person leaving that house who has anything good to say about Josh in his exit interview.
I think the pots like and pans are like more liked by the house guests at some points than Josh.
I was going to say anyone's going to leave the house. Oh. So, Matt, I kind of understand what you're saying. My thing is, I feel like it was his antics, like watching him distract Cody and Jessica during that endurance comp that Jessica won. They were giddy. They were loving it. When he goes after Mark, they're still loving it. They were enjoying the antics for what they were, for the rattling of it all. But then as they're going out, I feel like they somewhat resented him. They kind of resented that he made it further. A lot of them were holding this thing against him where he was seen as this immature write-off from day one. And I feel like a lot of them saw much potential in him, but he's almost not as much as Kevin, where people were just salty that Kevin was making it further than them. Someone like Alex was feeling that way. But the fact is, when you're sitting at the end now, he was taken all the way as a goat. And while he was able to turn some of them around, while he was able to like be nice and talk, I feel like a lot of them still ended up seeing him as this immature guy who was just there to get rises out of people and to be sicked on people via orders by Paul or whoever the powers that be.
Yeah, and there's a reason why like half the jury on their way out the door said, well, Paul is taking Josh to the end because that's the obvious choice. And it's because people didn't like Josh a whole lot and they don't respect his game. You know, and again, I do think that they enjoyed his antics because it was very beneficial to them. Like, Josh is our little pit bull and we love that about him. But when he gets sicked on you, you're not happy about it. I wouldn't say that he is, necessarily like, I think Christmas was more likable in the house than he was. I think Christmas has better relationships. And that's why, again, we also think that Christmas probably beats Josh in the final two. But so moving forward, we end up with week 9 where Jason wins the HOH and decides to go after Matt. And at this point, Paul is all in on his final three with Josh and Christmas, but there's not a whole lot this week that Josh has to contribute, Lana.
Yeah, well, it's funny because Paul is talking about this, right? Paul's like, well, I want Josh, Christmas, and Maven, and maybe we'll cut Matt for Kevin. So this is Paul coming up with this plan, wanting to keep these people in place. I will say that Josh, this is the first week where Josh does start to express concerns about Paul being in the game. So he's starting to think of it, but really, I mean, nothing comes from it. It's like a few stray comments here and there.
Yes. Again, there's not a whole lot for Josh to do. And as you mentioned, Liana, this isn't really something that Josh had a hand in, like convincing Paul. There wasn't a moment where it was like where Paul had a light bulb. It was really just like Paul had always considered that he was going to take Josh and Christmas down to at least final five because they were bad at competitions and nobody liked Josh. And so over the course of time, there was really, according to Paul, no better option than these two to take down to the end. Of course, we can disagree with that. I still think it was a huge mistake for Paul to take out Raven, but that's for Paul's analysis. Josh, there are, as Liana mentioned, there are a couple of comments here there where it's like he's starting to like maybe think about the end game, but not too much, Matt.
No, he was in a comfortable spot for these few weeks. It felt like, you know, there was all these pairs. And while we were saying that Paul was set up in a great spot because he had, you know, three different pairs around him and they all wanted to work with him, it felt like Josh and Christmas were in the same middle spot as well, because Matt and Raven weren't looking to work with Jason and Alex, and Jason and Alex weren't looking to work with Matt and Raven. So Josh and Christmas were in a good spot here. And it just felt like he was, you know, all of the people he didn't like were out of the house. He had nobody to scream at anymore. So he was laying low, enjoying the company of all these people that, you know, in one way or another, they had all worked together. They accomplished their goal. They got to the final, whatever it was. And they were happy about that. So now he starts, you know, his brain starts working a little bit faster and a little bit, you know, smarter. And I think he realized the good position he was in, and he just kind of coasted a little bit.
Yes. Well, I think a good position is to make it further. But I remember, like Matt said that week, I'm never going to win except against Josh. So he's, you know, they're still thinking like, this is a guy who's never going to win. Like, yeah, he may make it deep, but he's never going to win.
Yes. So moving forward to week 10, Christmas wins the HOH. Again, it was, of course, thrown to her. And she is now targeting Jason. And this is the week when the anti-Paul sentiment reaches one of its peaks with Josh. He doesn't like Paul's plan to win the veto and use it on Alex. He feels like Paul is, he's putting all of the blood on his hands, and that, that this is no good, that Paul is going to betray them for Alex, and that Paul is going to take Raven out because Raven is on their side. Like that, you know, Josh and Christmas have control over Raven, and that, Paul is going to want to take Alex down to the end. And certainly the fan base was very excited to hear all of this, but Josh's read on it was completely backwards, and he wasn't able to make any kind of headway with Christmas. And ultimately, we see in the double eviction, if he had, in fact, gotten his way, he may have been in deep trouble, because Alex wins that double eviction HOH, and Paul is, because of the whole plan, able to keep Josh and Christmas safe. Puya, what did you think of Josh's play during this week?
I think Josh's play, I feel like Josh's middle name is ass backwards, because that's how he ends up in a lot of the situations he's ended up to make it this far. So this is exactly where Josh starts hitting peak worried, peak concerned about Paul, and realizes Paul isn't about the team. Paul is about Paul. And he tells this stuff to Christmas. And I feel like what I'm referring to is the fact that Christmas ends up being his gatekeeper. Christmas knows exactly how he's feeling, does not ever end up telling Paul exactly what's happened, kind of alludes to it, hints at it, says, you know, I'm worried. I feel like Josh is losing it a little bit. He's tripping, is what she's been saying. So Josh was just able to keep cool and not go through with any of this stuff. And I feel like we discussed this at length that week, where it was kind of like, well, there's nothing really he can do right now, like outside of keeping Jason. But then what good is that for him? Because then Paul is able to just keep those two as well. And like, Paul is going to be fine in that situation. I feel like because he followed through with the plan, he was able to get through the next phase of the game without a hitch. No problem. I mean, we loved hearing it. We loved hearing it that at least somebody in this goddamn house has it in the back of their mind that maybe I should go after Paul if I get the shot. So that was nice to see. It was nice to see that Josh can think. It was nice to see that Josh can analyze the situation. I love that he was able to read all these things, see that, you know, Paul wanted to keep himself safe and it wasn't really putting him in a good light. It was very nice to see this person who we thought up until this point just pretty much runs on emotion and rage himself and is able to have some kind of strategic chops.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Like, this is my biggest problem, or like, I don't know, one of my biggest concerns, I guess, when I think about Josh, because we start to see him be really concerned with Paul. And I think in order for Josh to really shake his GOAT status and to solidify him as a player who can win this game, he has to make a move against Paul. And so part of me is like, you have to make this move. You have to do something. But if he takes a shot and misses, if he doesn't have the support of the people in his house, he's not making it to the end. So it's sort of this balance between making it to the end, actually getting there, versus being able to set yourself up as a possible winner. Because at this point, he really was not a possible winner. And so that's like the biggest discrepancy between his gameplay for me, is like, he needs to make this move, but he can't make this move. He needs to make this move to win, but he makes this move, he's not going to make it to the final two. And that's like the biggest thing I think about with Josh this week in particular.
Yeah, well, I think the problem with this week is that, you know, basically, I feel like he was again in a situation where if he was able to, he would have made this move, but he wasn't able to. And part of that is because he had the wrong read on things. And part of that is because he never had any sort of, capability to do anything in the game. And I do think it would have been a wrong move for him here. And I don't think he was thinking like, should I make a move or should I take the safe path? I think he was thinking, I want this to happen. I want to do anything I can to make this happen, but I'm powerless to stop it. I don't think he was thinking in terms of like, what's my best path to the end? I think he was really just thinking, I want to not have the blood on my hands. I think that was his main motivation. I don't want to be blamed for this. And because he had a wrong read, because he didn't have any capability to change anything, he was just, he basically just had to lie down and take it. You know, people, again, I think people will, if he wins this game, people might look back to this week and say, Josh made the smart decision to stick with Paul and let Paul take him to the end. But that wasn't the decision he made this week. The decision he made this week was to shake things up if he could. He did everything in his power. He talked to Paul multiple times. He talked to Christmas multiple times. They both just shut him down. He hadn't won any competitions. He didn't have control over Paul. And Paul just made the move against Josh's will. And really, you know, that's what we see play out this week, which is that, you know, Josh has to take the blame here.
Well, yeah, when I talk about Josh making this move, like the way he tried to go about it was not great at all. Right. I mean, you're going to go to people who are going to, like, you're going to go to Paul, you're going to go to Christmas. Like, no, these are not the people that you need to be talking to. So, yeah, he absolutely went about it the wrong way. I think if we're going to talk about Josh as a strong game player, somebody who deserves to win, could be a good winner, like, he had to have played better. Like, he messed this up for a lot of different reasons. I just think seeing him actually think about this could be the place to make the move is good. But, you know, ultimately, if he does it, he would have gone about it in the wrong way and probably would have been targeted and easily cut by Paul the next week.
Yes. So then we head into this double eviction again. Paul's plan ends up working. Paul is able to protect Josh and Christmas from Alex's HOH reign. And this is, again, we see Josh finally getting his rebellious angle out here. And he casts a vote to evict Kevin over Raven against the wishes of Paul and Christmas. And this is to be like, look, it wasn't my fault. The blood is not on my hands. I did what Alex told me to do. That's going to please Alex. It's going to please Raven because I didn't vote to evict her. I don't have to feel bad about that. However, again, when we look at like what happened here with Josh's vote and what he was trying to accomplish, it did kind of backfire. It made Raven think Paul voted to keep her and that Paul was her ally and that Josh was the one that betrayed her. And again, remember that Josh at this point thinks that he has Raven in his pocket and he doesn't recognize that that Raven is in Paul's pocket. So again, like very poor reasoning for this move, and it ultimately backfires because Raven goes to the jury thinking Paul is on her side. But again, if we're talking about right move, wrong reasons, if Raven and Matt are the reason why Paul can't win this game, this this could be the winning move for Josh completely inadvertently, Matt.
Exactly. It's just like Puya said, he's walking ass backwards into everything he does. It's just all season long. He's been trying to, you know, follow the lead, or at this point he's starting to wake up a little bit and he's trying to figure out what the right move is. And here he thinks he's got the idea down. He's like, I know what I'm doing. I'm casting this vote because this is what I want to do. I want to make sure Alex knows what you know, that I'm on her side or whatever. And now all of it's gonna turn around and benefit Paul. But then all of it's going to turn around and maybe benefit him. So that's just, it's Josh's game in a nutshell. It's like all of these decisions just turn around in different ways. And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't.
Yes. But this is also the week where he starts these goodbye messages. And this is, I think, again, when we look at Josh's game, I think that week eight, when he's able to maintain a somewhat halfway decent relationship with Mark, that's his best move of the game. And this is probably the second best move of the game, and probably the only two moves of the game that I would consider good, where he leaves a goodbye message for Jason, saying, this was Paul's plan. Paul is behind this. And this is good because Paul is an idiot and tries to lie about it in his goodbye message. And he gets some help from production in terms of the way that they edited it together, makes Paul look even more like an idiot. And so This, again, if Paul ends up losing to a bitter jury that doesn't have to do with Matt and Raven, this could be the reason why. These goodbye messages where Paul is making a huge mistake. Josh is lucky in that he's able to capitalize on that. And then I think that, again, like the way that production decides to portray these messages is giving him a little boost as well. And Jason leaves this house very upset with Paul. Liana, what do you think about the goodbye message strategy?
Oh, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's really working out for him. And I don't think that it's intentional.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think that Josh is just being him. Like, he thinks that this is what he should say. He doesn't think about, okay, what are the long-term ramifications of this, of Jason hearing these messages, you know, and going into the jury house. He's not thinking that far ahead. Really, it's just Josh being Josh, giving his goodbye messages. And it just happens to be working out for him.
Yeah, I think that's probably true there. I do think, you know, again, if we're talking about a potential Josh win, if it's because of Matt and Raven, it's even extra. Just like, what did Josh do to get this win? If it's because the jury is bitter against Paul, in particular, nothing to do with Matt and Raven, then I do think there is a tiny bit of credit that we can attribute toward Josh to helping make that jury bitter with these goodbye messages, not allowing Paul to play the jury house, and making Josh look like the whistleblower. That I think that does help his case a little bit. It doesn't help his case in terms of like his strategic ability to get himself to the final two. But I do think it could theoretically, again, depending on the reasoning for the jury bitterness, could be something that we could somewhat attribute toward Josh's success. So moving forward from there, we go to week 11, where Josh is thrown the HOH and he nominates Alex and Kevin. And this is again where we see him at another crossroads. He very heavily considers targeting Paul this week and taking him out of the game. I was saying during this week, I think this is the winning move for Josh. He has to try this if he has the ability to. And ultimately, he is not given the opportunity to because Paul wins the veto. But Matt, what did you think of this week for Paul's or for Josh's game?
I think this was a really bad time to win HOH. And I feel like Josh realized that after he won, but obviously there was nothing he could go back and do about it. But Paul was setting up early in that week and saying, I'm not going to win this HOH. One of you guys take it. Because Paul knew what he was doing. Paul knew that this wasn't the HOH to win because you want to win the Final Four HOH and make sure you have that shot at safety. But Josh, I guess, wasn't thinking clearly. And he was just, I want to get the power. I want to keep this, you know, team marching forward and we have to get Alex out. Or maybe this is the chance to take out Paul. But by doing so and by not taking the shot, I mean, obviously, like you said, Paul won the veto, so there wasn't much he could do about it. But it was, I mean, he had put himself in a position where it just felt like even if he had the idea in his head, it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, like Josh knew that this was a bad week to win HOH. He didn't want it to be thrown to him until he had the idea that maybe I'll take Paul out this week. Then he was like, okay, well, I'll win the HOH in order to take Paul out. But then, of course, when he won the HOH, he waffled on that decision. And again, ultimately didn't even have the opportunity to because Paul won that veto. Priya, did you think this was a good move here to allow the HOH to be thrown to him? Should he have targeted Paul here?
I feel like he should have, and here's why.
You got robot.
Yes.
Liana, can you handle that question?
Yeah, so from my perspective, I do think that it would have been a good move if he could have pulled it off. But let's say Alex had won veto that week. I still cannot see a way that Josh could have pulled that move off. I mean, I don't think that Christmas would have gone against Paul. I don't think that Alex would have gone against Paul because he just needed the one vote. So then he could have broken the tie in the direction of getting Paul out. And so while if he had the support of just one person, I think he should have gone through with it. You know, bearing obviously that Paul doesn't win the veto that week, but I just don't think there was any way it was ever going to happen.
Yes, and I also forgot to bring up during the double eviction, Josh wins the veto during Alex's HOH reign and decides not to use it. I brought this up after the double eviction where I said that I do think that this was Josh's opportunity. I think that throughout the entire game, this was Josh's biggest and most, you know, like the best opportunity he had to make a move. If he had gone to Alex, revealed that that Paul was behind the Jason eviction and that that he's been lying to her this whole time, he set the whole thing up, and that, look, I'm going to take Raven down, let's put up or I'm going to take Kevin down, let's put up Josh or Paul, and then we'll try to win Paul or Kevin onto our side as well, and then take Paul out of the game. I do think that this was his best opportunity to make that move. However, like, again, when we look at it, and this is not what was going through Josh's head, I don't want to put in like strategic thoughts that weren't there. But in terms of like my own analysis, I think, you know, it's kind of hard to like, should he just let Paul drag him to the end and hope that the jury is bitter, or should he try to make the move here and become the power player? With Josh's abilities in the game, it's probably better to just let Paul take him down to the end. He just doesn't have the stuff to make these moves on his own. His best chance of winning is probably just letting Paul, you know, take him down to the end. And so, you know, in many ways, I think, again, with the wrong reasoning, Josh probably ends up doing the right thing by not making any moves, despite wanting to. So after this, we see that Paul wins that veto, and now Josh is considering, I really want to keep Alex in the house. I really just want to do anything I can to go against Paul. This obviously, I think we can all agree, would have been a terrible move for Josh if he had gone through with it. But he lets Paul do the split vote anyway, and gets the blood on his hands for evicting Alex. Puyo, what did you think of that?
All right. First things first, you guys hear me fine?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Yeah, so I feel like this is another case where Josh had no say in the narrative that he was spinning. He has to credit Christmas for what happened this week, because Christmas having that wishy-washy conversation with him and saying that she hadn't made her decision on who's going to Final Two, that is what solidified Josh starting to actually consider taking Paul to Final Two, actually start considering maybe not getting rid of Paul was the right choice here. I don't think he would have come to that conclusion on his own. And I think had Paul not won the veto, he would have definitely probably tried to take that shot, even though I do agree with Liana. He needed at least one person to be on his side for that to happen. And I don't know if he would have had that unless he started blowing some stuff up. But it just goes back to Josh kind of gets lucky here once again, because the move he wants to make, he isn't allowed to make. And the decisions he comes up with that might end up helping him with the win isn't something he came up with organically. It's something that came up because Christmas couldn't look at him square in the face and lie to him and just say, yeah, I'll take you to the Final Two. I think that's where the riffle started happening, and that's where we're at.
Yes. So this is the moment where Josh finds out that his ride or die is not his ride or die, and that he has, in fact, probably been a bit alone throughout the entire season. Again, just like unfortunately didn't have the right read on that situation. So we move into the next HOH where Paul wins that Final Four HOH and of course nominates Josh and Kevin, and ultimately has Christmas send Kevin home. Josh didn't have a whole lot to do there. We did, again, there were so many confrontations. He did have a confrontation with Kevin earlier in the season where he brought up the whole 25K thing said that Kevin brought up Kevin's family. And Kevin was never a huge fan of Josh after that. Josh didn't do much at all to repair that relationship. Kevin left that house thinking that, saying to Paul that Josh was not somebody that he respected, that that he should take Josh to the end because nobody would vote for Josh. And again, Josh didn't really do anything to change that in the house. So I do believe if Kevin, for whatever reason, ended up voting for Josh over Paul, I'd have to imagine that it's entirely based on the Matt and Raven thing. It's hard to imagine anything else swaying Kevin, Liana.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that Josh, you know, this is a situation where Josh does nothing really to help his own social game. Like, he's had these thoughts about jury votes before. Okay, well, you actually have to do something about that, right? Because there are a couple ways that you can argue your game in the end, right? One is, oh, I made all these great, you know, I made these moves. I mean, that's what Paul's speech is awful, but whatever, that's beside the point. You know, you can make these moves, you can get out Paul, you can say, look, I made this power move. I wasn't Paul's puppet the entire time. I was just using him, cut him at the end. Or you have the kind of Russell Hantz, like Natalie situation where you build really strong relationships and you say, oh man, this guy, yeah, he really played the game, but he was the worst. Like, you like me more. And Josh does neither.
Yeah.
it felt like he was trying a little bit with Kevin in the last week. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, but when Kevin was going out the door with, you know, with Alex a little bit, it just, he kept telling them that I love you guys. I this kills me. This crushes my heart. Like I really liked you guys. And I mean, he did this way more with Alex, but he was trying to have a conversation with Kevin once or twice in Kevin's final days. But every time that he was done talking to Kevin, Kevin would go to Paul and he would tell Paul, yeah, Josh was just talking to me. Get out of here. Like, I didn't want anything to do with it. Like, nothing was working because I guess just all of the damage that Josh had done earlier in the season. I mean, that Josh and Kevin fight was intense. And in case anybody forgot about it, that's when Josh is going and saying, swear in your kids, Kevin, swear in your kids that you didn't say this. Kevin's, you know, they're separated by that island in the kitchen, and Kevin feeds cut because Kevin picks something up. And it's just the story of Josh. Everybody keeps getting so riled up with him. So it feels like, it felt like Kevin just didn't want anything to do with it. And even if Josh was trying to put in some work, he wasn't getting anywhere.
Yes. So he does attempt to, again, leave a goodbye message that says, look, I've had a final three with Christmas and Paul this whole time. But it doesn't seem to have affected Kevin all that much. Again, we haven't seen much of Kevin after his exit interview. So it's hard to tell exactly how he feels. But for the most part, this seems to have fallen on deaf ears. Like, Kevin doesn't care much because he's never really cared much for Josh. So moving into this final three, of course, he wins part two against Christmas and is going to be face off against Paul in part three, where he currently plans on taking Paul to the end. We talked about this last night where, you know, between Paul and Christmas, he might actually have a better shot against Paul. I still think he probably has a better shot against Christmas, just because I feel like those votes are a bit more fluid. And there's a lot of ways that Christmas can lose votes and that he can pick them up from Christmas. But he has basically at this point been convinced by Paul that Christmas will beat both of them handily, and that Paul is his best shot at winning the game. Booyah.
Yeah, so my biggest worry here is, like, if these leaks are to be believed, if we believe that they're bitter towards Paul, I wonder if Josh wins and takes Paul, will they be like, well, you're an idiot for doing this? And that kind of shifts a little bit back towards the Paul camp. But I feel like if Paul wins and takes him, which is exactly what's going to happen for sure, then his odds are better. But then ultimately, there is an argument to be made that if he does take Christmas, he has good shots to go and beat her. The discussion with Christmas is the whole, she's had somewhat of a friendly game, social game. People are kind of okay with her. We know Mark is sure as hell is not. But there's a lot of other people that she's been good with for a majority portion of the game. Josh's biggest enemy going into this finale is himself. Josh's biggest enemy is going to be the words he uses and the way he chooses to narrate his story to these people. I feel like you've brought this up, Taryn, where, like, if his big reveal is, we've been in a final three this whole time, Paul has been with us, that is not really a winning game argument. If he goes in and he brings the passion, he brings up that he's done what he has to do to stay in the game. He's argued with some people, but he loves everyone here. He just did these things to keep himself going further. And if he's able to articulate, if he's able to do what he's done with us kind of by talking to the feeds, bringing stuff up, talking about blood, just as much game jargon as he can, interspersed with his emotions, I really like that. And I really think that's the winning thing he needs to make to get solidify some of these votes. If he tries to sell this old final three was this was all our plan, and then he kind of just tries to like yada yada the rest of it, I don't like his odds. I still think the leak is looming large, and I still think that the anti-Paul camp is still looming large in his favor as well. And if Paul's going to use this weird, very, very rusty speech that he's putting together right now, I, again, like Josh's odds against that. But also, Josh would have to not fumble his speech, and I don't know how much I trust Josh in a high-pressure situation with emotions rising.
I think if Paul and Josh end up in the final two together, the jury has already made up their mind. I don't think that anything that happens really in the final speeches is going to end up playing a role. I think it's either going to be they're okay with voting for Paul or they're not okay with voting for Paul. Like, that's a decision that's already been made. In the situation where Josh cuts Paul and takes Christmas, then I do think that those final speeches may actually play a role because, like Terrence said, those votes are much more fluid because the jury had made up their mind of Paul or not Paul. And so now we have a situation of two not Pauls. And what do we do in that situation? And so I think that then that's the way where maybe Josh can use his final speech to sway people and get them to vote for him.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at Josh's game, you know, we've gone through all of it now. I don't think there's a single moment where Josh made a move with his own, by his own volition to get himself to the final two. I think he was, we can say like there was basically no move there. He was dragged here by Paul. And if he makes the move to cut Paul at the end, that's a single move that he can claim. And that's why it's kind of like, maybe he really should do that. In terms of his jury management, we can point to two things. We can point to his attempt to repair relationships, the most successful of which being Mark. And then we can point to the goodbye messages. Those are both contingent on did they actually work? If Josh ends up winning, is it because he had a good relationship with Mark or is it because they hate Paul? Is it because he turned them against Paul or is it because they just hate Matt and Raven? We're really just looking at a very small amount of things that Josh did right with his own power. And if Josh does end up winning here, gotta say, for me, he is probably very close to the bottom of the winner rankings. Matt, what do you think?
And I have to agree with you. And I also agree with Liana. I agree that the jury has their minds made up. They're going to know what they plan to do going into this vote. And it's only going to hurt Josh's game more if he ends up making the decision to bring Paul to the end. And, if there's anybody who's on the fence at that last moment when they see that Josh brought Paul to the end, the guy that they're hoping might not even make it to the final two, if they're saying we don't want Paul to even make it there so we don't have to vote for him, that will hurt Josh's game if there's any votes left to be taken. But I agree with you. I think that if Josh does end up pulling out the win, very close to the bottom, not the bottom, but it's just we just went through his entire game and you pulled out two moves that you said these can be looked at as a good move. Maybe, something that
if they work.
There's not enough here to, even put him anywhere near the middle. Like it sucks because, he's in this late part of the game. We've seen him trying. We've seen him have the heart to be there and the heart to want to, make this all happen. And this is his dream to be on Big Brother and play the game. And now he wants to win, but too little too late, maybe.
I mean, when I look at Josh's arc, I see this emotional, chaotic wreck who was pulled out by Paul as somebody who could be a goat and a pawn. He was strung along as this goat and pawn where Paul was willing to cut him if it came to it. And then sort of slightly towards the end of the game, he's picking less fights, although still fighting with people. And he hasn't made any moves of his own. Like, he really is a byproduct of Paul's game. And so when we do talk about him potentially winning in the end, I really do think we kind of have to think about it from, and I hate to say this, but what did Paul do wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Pooya, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to co-sign everything you guys are saying here. I feel like they're not just Josh, a lot of people this season getting to the end would have been getting to the end through no agency of their own. They would have been getting to the end through Paul's desires. And we had this big discussion last night about what makes like a good winner, what makes a top tier winner. And that is someone who has complete control of their journey and is able to make the narration of the season, the arc of the season, go along their whim. And Josh does not fit that description at all. I think I'm going to look back fondly on some of the antics of Josh, and, you know, I'll never look at pots and pans the same way ever again. But there's not really been any decision that Josh has made that has led him to this point, except for blindly accepting Paul as his Lord and Savior week one, and just kind of being lucky that Paul was willing to give him that and keep him and have him in his top three choice. And that is where he got lucky, where people like Alex didn't, where people like Jason didn't, because a lot of them thought that they were chosen by Paul to go to the final three. He's just lucky that Paul genuinely meant him and not the others.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Annie in the chat does say being dragged bleeding to the end of the game and winning is still a strategy. But I think that's kind of what we're pointing out here, that Josh never actively pursued that as a strategy. Josh thought that he was playing the game. He never once vocalized like, yes, I'm going to let Paul just drag me to the end. The jury will be bitter against him, and then I'm going to win. That wasn't his strategy. He really was just, as we went week by week, he was just playing week by week, letting things happen, listening to what Paul was telling him to do. And as Puya, you very correctly point out, even just being Paul's minion, like, we talk about how Steve convinced Vanessa that he was a loyal soldier and that he would take her down to the end. Steve was one of the few people that was able to do that with Vanessa. He was one of the few people that was one of Vanessa's minions, even though he actually wasn't. Josh was one of very many people in the house that would have done Paul's bidding. Basically everyone at one point in the house, including Cody and Jessica, because they did put Ramses up on the block, were following along with Paul's agenda. And you're right. It really was just the fact that he was the worst of all of them that Paul decided to choose him to take down to the end. So if he ends up winning because of Paul's other mistakes with the jury, it's really hard to give him credit for actively playing that strategy. And certainly we can't take away the fact that he will win the game if he does. A win is a win, and $500,000 in the bank is $500,000 in the bank. But when we're talking about active strategy and we're talking about, like, is this replicable, it's really not, and I do think that, when we look at it, it's he is probably one of the this is probably one of the worst ways to have gotten to the end and won. I think that's what we have to conclude.
The coveted pots and pans strategy really isn't doing it for you. Yeah, he's a hot mess. It's a disaster.
Yes. And Annie does say, I do agree, the thought that Josh winning is more how Paul lost than how Josh won. I do think that that is the story here. If that happens, might not. So unless you guys have any final thoughts on Josh, I think we've got this wrapped up. All right. So we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to talk about Paul's game. Probably be even longer than this one, because, man, there's a lot of stuff to go through with Paul. I'll be with Rob Sesternino and Brent Walgamont as we run down everything that Paul did right and everything that Paul did wrong. So make sure you check that out. And of course, if there are any updates on the feeds, we will also be letting you in on those. And of course, tomorrow night hosting the finale coverage for Rob Has a Podcast, and Rob will be in the backyard interviewing the house guests. So make sure you send questions in for him. Of course, I just dropped the newest episode of The Taran Show. I spoke with Lita Brillman, my American Ninja Warrior co-host. You've seen her on plenty of these morning updates. It was a bit of an emotional one, I've got to say. There was a lot of deep stuff there. So make sure you check that out. Very, some powerful stuff there, I think. If you're interested at all, check out The Taran Show. We're running out of content here. Big Brother's almost at its end. How can people find you guys on Twitter? Puya, let's start with you.
@Puyaism.
Matt's
at Matt Liguori.
And Liana.
I'm at Liana Boris. Also, the email address to send in your questions is bbfinale@robhasawebsite.com. You know, we're taking questions for everybody, but pre-jury people, we have less questions for. So just FYI.
Yes. All right. So, of course, I will be recording with Lita again for American Ninja Warrior today. So we will be talking about the season finale. Make sure you check that out. It should be up by tomorrow. So you got that to check out, too. And we've also we've got something in the works with American Ninja Warrior here. There's another podcast that does American Ninja Warrior. There's plenty of other stuff, you know, in the fandom of American Ninja Warrior. And so we've been talking to some people. We're going to try and set something special up for the postseason. So keep on the lookout for that as well. But thank you to you guys, Liana, Matt, Puya. You guys have been so excellent with all of the morning updates. I've been so lucky to have you guys.
I will say I'm a little excited to have my Saturday mornings back. Not going to lie. Like, I loved it, but yeah, I'm excited to sleep in those days.
You mean we're not debunking myths on Saturday, every Saturday?
Right. Oh, right. No. Sorry, I forgot. Never mind. Who needs sleep?
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me for these morning updates. Thank you guys to the audience for joining me as well for all these morning updates and listening and watching and commenting and chatting and all of it. It's been so much fun. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.